Hello there, my name is Gary Sims and this is Gary Explains. Now Arm have just announced a new CPU core design that we're going to see in smartphones probably at the end of this year and certainly into next year. Now the CPU is called the Cortex-A77 and today I want to tell you all about it. So if you want to find out more, please let me explain. So back in April, I made a video predicting what we're going to see in terms of CPUs and GPUs over the next few months. And in that video, I said that it was likely that ARM would release a new CPU design because that's what they do every year, kind of in the early summer, late spring. And that's exactly what they've done again this year. And I took a stab at a guess of the name and I said it would be the Cortex-A77 because last year's device was called the Cortex-A76. And I was right, it is the Cortex-A77. So today I want to do two things. First of all, I want to look at what is the Cortex-A77 and what does it provide in terms of functionality and performance and power efficiency. And then in the second half of the video, I want to take a bit of a deeper dive into the microarchitecture of the Cortex-A77 to see how it's put together. Now, if you want to bail out after the first half, that's absolutely fine. And I'll tell you when I'm going to get more technical. But in either case, let's get started. So the Cortex-A77 is a second generation of CPU built on the foundation of the Cortex-A76. However, it has been tweaked and changed to increase its single core performance. The proper way to say that maybe would be the instructions per cycle in performance has gone up by 20%. And obviously that is a significant increase and that makes it good for not only smartphones, but also for laptops, particularly let's say laptops running Windows on ARM. So the Cortex-A77 can be used in a very similar way to the Cortex-A76, almost a drop-in replacement in many ways. It works with dynamic. It, of course, is ARM 8.2 architecture, 32-bit and 64-bit, and supports various levels of caching, as you can see here on the slide. Because it works with dynamic, it means it's a big dot little capable CPU, and it will be paired with the Cortex-A55, just like the Cortex-A76 before it. Now, if we look here at the performance uplift, here are some important things to notice. If you're taking the basis of the Cortex-A75 on 10 nanometer at 2.8 gigahertz, that's 2017 that was released, then the Cortex-A76 provided a 35% increase in performance, so quite a big jump there, but that was also a jump from 10 nanometers down to 7 nanometers, and the baseline for testing this benchmarking went from 2.8 gigahertz to 3 gigahertz. But when you come over to the Cortex-A77, this is still on 7 nanometer and still on 3 gigahertz, and yet there is a 20% increase in the performance. So these are purely microarchitecture changes that are giving us this leap in performance because everything else remains the same, 7 nanometer process node, and this is measuring it running at 3 gigahertz. Okay, so the big takeaway there is that 20% jump in performance on the same process node running at the same clock speed. So that means if you took a Cortex-A76 based processor like today, like for example the Snapdragon 855, and you put the Cortex-A77 in there, then you're going to get that 20% increase in performance without doing anything else. Now, when we look forward to what's coming during the next year and into next year, of course, we're expecting Qualcomm to announce probably in December the new Snapdragon. Maybe it'll be called the Snapdragon 865, and it would be based on the Cortex-A77. But of course, it can be tweaked by Qualcomm because they have that built-on Cortex technology license, which means that actually it may even be tweaked for even greater performance. And of course, it will be called a Cryo CPU at that point. And of course, other OEMs are also able to use the Cortex-A77 in their chip designs. So ignoring all political turmoil that might be around at the time that I'm actually recording this video, traditionally, Huawei would have released a new chip later in the year in their Kirin range based on the Cortex-A77. And then, of course, there are other manufacturers, including Samsung, including MediaTek, but I don't expect to see the Cortex-A77 actually featuring in their processors in the short term, at least. Okay, so that's it for the kind of the overall view of things. I'm now going to do a bit of a deeper dive into the microarchitecture. So if you want to bail out now, that's absolutely fine. But just as you're going, don't forget to hit that subscribe button and maybe hit that bell as you go. Okay, we'll wait for you to go. Okay, see you. Okay, so now they're gone, let's dive into the microarchitecture to find out a bit more. So the key thing you can see here is that the Cortex-A77 had a design goal to increase the instructions per clock performance greater than that of the Cortex A76 while maintaining the same frequency capabilities as the Cortex A76. And to do that, several big things had to change. First of all, the pipeline has now become a 6-wide instruction-wide pipeline rather than 4-wide, which is what we had in the Cortex A76. There is double the branch prediction bandwidth, that the branch predictor has been improved so that it is more accurate, and there has been an increase in the branch target buffer capacity. And also there is a brand new component that's been introduced into the front end of that pipeline, and that is the macro op cache, the MOP cache. And basically, when an instruction goes from that very first part of that pipeline and it now gets broken down in that very first decoding phase, there is now a cache based on the memory address that it won't have to perform that same decode if it's already been through that pipeline recently and it's in the cache. And that means you can save a whole cycle down the pipeline and actually speed up the trip of that instruction down the pipeline, which of course improves performance. And it has an 85% hit rate across diverse workloads, even with only just being 1.5K, because it's 1.5K per core. And then when we get to the decode rename commit part of the pipeline, there's been a 50% increase in the dispatch width, up from 4 instructions a cycle to now 6 instructions a cycle. And there's been a 25% increase in the size of the out of order window. So now it can actually look up to 160 instructions ahead to find out how it can reorder those instructions to make the path more efficient through the pipeline. And when you get to the back end of the pipe, the actual execution core, now there has been an extra ALU added, and that ALU is capable of doing simple one cycle types of instructions, but it's also able to do the more complex types of two cycle instructions. There's now a second branch execution unit, which means that when you've got those 160 instructions all queuing up out in the out of order queue, it made sense to add in a second branch execution part so that the pipe could keep on flowing. And interestingly, there's also a second AES encryption pipe, which just shows you the importance of encryption in hardware in today's workloads. And as I've said many, many times in different videos, caching is a fundamental part of the improvements that can help the performance of a microarchitecture. And as you can see, there have been some big changes to the way that the L1 and L2 caching are handled in the Cortex A77, making them even better than the quite superb already prefetching and caching that we had in the Cortex A76. So if we look at the different workloads here, various spec benchmarks, 2006 and 2017, Geekbench, for example, then we're looking at anything from kind of 20%, 25%, and kind of between 15 and 20% increases across the board, depending, of course, on the particular workload. And this is all to do with those microarchitecture changes that have made the processor higher performing. And quickly, what's interesting here, if you look at the floating point benchmarks there for 2006 and 2017, you'll see a significant increase, and yet there's not actually been any increase in the raw floating point power of the Cortex A77. These are just because the instructions and the caching and the way that microarchitecture is made means that those instructions get through the whole processor much, much quicker, even though the actual execution unit for the floating point hasn't changed. That proves the improvements they've had to that pipeline in the Cortex A77. And so there you have it, some interesting changes there from it being a 4-wide instruction pipe to an 6-wide, and then the increase at the back end of that pipe there for the execution units to cope with the fact that we're now into a 6-wide pipe, and then some changes there at the beginning of the pipe with that instruction cache that helps the decode cycle and can actually shave off one cycle as an instruction passes its way down the pipeline. Now, as I said earlier, we're gonna see this CPU design in smartphones maybe at the end of this year, certainly into 2020, and we're gonna see a 20% increase across the board. However, this is just for CPU advantages. Now, actually, Arm also announced a brand new GPU, and my next video is gonna be discussing the new GPU from Arm. Okay, my name is Gary Sims, this is Gary Explains. I really hope you enjoyed this video. If you did, please do give it a thumbs up. Do subscribe. It really does help if you hit that bell notification icon. And well, that's it. I'll see you in the next one.